CKUT 90.3 FM.
Welcome to Dragon Root Radio, Feminist Waves brought to you by CKUT and the Center for Gender Advocacy.
The Dragon Root Media Collective aims to bring you feminist content that challenges interlocking systems of oppression and makes space for voices systemically silenced. Dragon Root understands media as being inherently political and emphasizes media skill sharing as a form of resistance.
We meet every other Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the Center for Gender Advocacy and welcome anyone interested in learning or producing feminist media to join. No skills required.
Placing his flowers in a porcelain bowl, I mistook for a gift he gave in a lonesome hour. I reason with the edge of a shadow still draped up on my wall, can't remember his name, but a face with beatific angles like sun in the rain. My eyes are dripping tears in my sleep as I wake. I'm the piece of iron in your shotgun, the empty bullet you shot, son, the opening line to your love letter eyes, bleeding love lines from the feather. I'm the fancy dress on this month's display, the fabric women all look the same, a flavor for you to chew and spit. I was strong till I was hit, I was stung by that first kiss, a Casanova's daily fix. I was strung by my love's lips when I was stung by that first kiss. I found him sipping whiskey with a dark grin, had a lipstick on the glass beside his mouth upon the rim. He said, plenty more have come and gone away. Well, I'm the piece of iron in your shotgun, the empty bullet you shot, son, the opening line to your love letter eyes, bleeding love lines from the feather. I'm the fancy dress on this month's display, the fabric women all look the same, a flavor for you to chew and spit. I was strong till I was hit, I was stung by that first kiss, a Casanova's daily fix. Well, I was strung by my love's lips when I was stung by that first kiss. Mm-hmm. I'm standing at the edge and I'm reasoning with fate. I'd rather be a wild weed than a flower in a vase. Ah, a gift now, showering in ruin. To be a lonely lover or a young man's slave, well, I'd rather be a wild weed than a flower in a vase.
You're listening to CQUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Next is our interview with Daughter of the Moon. This interview was recorded pre-quarantine, so any reference to travel was from that time. Here is Natalie, Daughter of Moon.
I'm Daughter of the Moon. You're welcome to call me Natalie. And I'm a dream folk musician currently based out of Vancouver. Yeah, my music, I love to kind of create a landscape of lyrics and sound with my music. A lot of imagery, a lot of talk about flowers and birds and animals, and then usually coming from kind of intentional messages that brew inside of me.
So your music, as you just mentioned, features a lot of kind of natural themes, flowers, birds, animals. Can you talk a bit about why that's the focus of, what draws you to that in terms of music?
I think, well, one of the things that I love about poetry and music is that it's something that you, like, it can be heard. It's not something that you can necessarily touch or see unless you're reading the words. And so I love just closing my eyes and hearing and playing songs, and because I have a very vivid imagination. So I find that, describing kind of different landscapes or animals or, like kind of beautiful places in my mind, it kind of brings me to that place of peace, I guess, or joy. So that's what I like to write about most, because it kind of inspires me the most.
Mm-hmm. For our listeners, you and me met actually at a yoga studio, and you were playing music for a yin yoga class. Mm-hmm. And you also are a teacher in Vancouver. Can you talk a little bit about, that relationship for you between yoga and music, and sharing it particularly in classes?
Yeah, I mean, yoga, I'd say whenever people ask me how I'm doing or what I'm doing in my life right now, like, you know, what's new? Usually I say music and yoga. That's it. Those are kind of my words. And I find, they definitely both, they link together, whether or not I'm playing music in the yoga class, or if I'm teaching, or if I'm practicing, or the same with music, practicing or performing. It allows me, both practices allow me to create kind of this bubble of safety and almost like this bubble of safety where I can really express what I feel and also accept what I feel, if that makes sense. And so I love being in both containers. And then when I get to play music in the yoga studios, like where we met, I love that even more because it's just double whammy. So.
Okay. So we're going to play one of your songs here on the show. Can you tell us a bit about the song and how it came about?
Sure, yeah. I'd like to share first the more of a chill song that I've had in my life for a while. It's called Hummingbird and the Wolf. It kind of talks about what we were just describing with animals and things like that. I'd say spirit animals are really important to me, and they come in and out of my life a lot with quite an important symbolism. So I love hummingbirds, and I love wolves. They both kind of symbolize these really strong animals in nature, very fierce. And I've been kind of experiencing that, just embodying my own self and becoming a woman. So that's the song that I'd like to share. You are by the
could be fed to the wolves. Hummingbird is free. She lets her wings unfold. Her heart can interlace, but her hands can hold. Debris are my only home. Can it be that we got lost out to sea? Or do you wait for me on an island in my dream?
Music, I guess, industry, it's a really big word, but as someone who is in it and tours and creates music, can you talk a bit about, I guess, like, any, since we're a feminist radio show, any, like, gender discrepancies that you've experienced that have impacted maybe, like, your creativity or just your ability to kind of express in that realm?
You know, actually, it was probably the thing that I experienced most. So I just went on a 2-month tour. I drove my car from Vancouver to the edge of Newfoundland and played shows along the way in different places and lived in my car. I had a bed in the back of my hatchback, and it was such a wonderful experience. But I noticed along the way, I had so many people. I mean, the more east you get, the more they'll ask you if your license plate seems way out of province. They'll ask you right away where you're from, and even at shows. And I had the interesting comment that I always had was, "You're traveling by yourself?" Mm-hmm. Like, I had some older gentleman in Newfoundland look at me and go, "Where's your man?"
Oh, wow.
I was like, I don't need one. Excuse me. Yeah, so that was interesting. I wasn't actually expecting that to happen so much, and people were really, really surprised that I was traveling alone, like a young woman. And I don't know. It's are we asking how I feel about that, or what do we ask?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. How I guess, how does it impact you as a musician?
I'd say, yeah, I mean, I think it was cool because people seemed really impressed. And so in my own way, that makes me feel, it made me feel strong, and it made me feel brave and adventurous. But on the other hand, you know, it definitely made me feel a little bit almost disappointed that is not yet just a normal thing. Because I honestly do feel like if I was a man musician traveling by myself, I don't think I would have gotten so many comments about, oh, wow, you're all by yourself. Mm. And, you know, I wouldn't have gotten that comment, like, where's your man? And, you know, just so it personally made me feel good, but in the broader perspective, I wish and I hope for the future that that'll happen a lot more, and that'll become a normal thing to see a woman being able to travel by herself, yeah, mm-hmm. and tour.
Now you tour with the band Daughter of the Moon. Can you tell us a bit about, actually, let's start, where does the name come from?
Daughter of the Moon?
Yeah.
So, there is a little story attached to that, actually. I mean, besides, the name resonates with me, because I do, I love the moon. I'm really passionate about exploring and following the moon cycles, as well as relating them to my own female cycles. And I used to play under the name Natalie Ramsey as my solo act. And it was interesting because I found that my personal life and my music life were just so interweaved. And I was craving a kind of separation, and I was also craving for a name that would allow me to have those strong imaginary and visual visions that I have when I write the actual songs. So I was playing at my first music festival 2 summers ago at the Blessed Coast Festival in Squamish, which is a beautiful festival, very spiritual and full of beautiful people. And I was going around without shoes and a skirt, and my friend looked at me and said, oh, you're kind of like the daughter of the moon. And I appreciated that comment. I loved it, and it stuck with me. And at that same festival, there was a little bit of a mistake with writing my name on their billboard the wrong way. And it's kind of a funny name that they misspelt. They didn't say Natalie Ramsey. They said Natramsey is one word, and it made me kind of sound like a DJ or something. And I remember everyone called me that all week, and they still call me that. It haunts me, Natramsey. And I just thought, oh my God, let's just pick another name. Like, let's do Daughter of the Moon. And it just felt right in every way. And it's been good ever since.
Awesome. And what were, so you were on tour this summer. What were some of the highlights from your tour?
There were so many. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, the thrill of surviving, the thrill of driving across the country and seeing all the different landscapes. It's absolutely stunning. Even the prairies are absolutely beautiful, although I'm biased. I'm from the prairies. But yeah, I'd say the people I met, I barely actually only had to sleep in my car maybe half the time because people would offer me a place to stay. I met some beautiful people that I feel that I'll connect with for the rest of my life. And a lot of musical contacts. Yeah, that just everything. And I love traveling, so it was just a thrill.
Was it your first time going from coast to coast?
It was, yeah.
Okay. What was that an intentional decision, and why coast to coast? It's a long trip.
Yeah, it kind of just worked out that way. I started reaching out to different venues that I had noticed a lot of my friends had toured, or I started with the recommendations. So I ended up booking a show. My first show that I booked was in Moncton, New Brunswick. And I thought, okay, great. So now I'm going to have to go all the way to New Brunswick. So I might as well hang out in the area. And then I met somebody who helped me get some shows in Newfoundland. So then that was it. It just worked out, and actually it was the the space in between that I ended up filling last, the prairies, I thought, well, I need something along the way. So it just turned into a big ordeal and a big fun trip.
Looking ahead, what are you excited for or looking forward to developing in terms of your music trajectory?
I think right now, for most of my life, music has been a big priority, but I think I've always focused on the creative side, and I've put a lot of effort into songwriting and kind of developing my own personal strength was on the music side. So lately, the last year or so, I've been focusing more on kind of organizing and the business side of things, where I'm booking tours and getting a team assembled of people, to do more things like this, do interviews and to how do I describe that? Yeah, to get the music kind of out there, to send it out into the world, which does take quite a lot of work, and it does take a team to help. So that's what I'm assembling right now, and I'm really excited about it. It's definitely the other side of the creative brain. It's a little more mathematical and planny, but it's really fulfilling, and I'm learning so much. So actually, I'm so excited to be sitting down and doing that now, and that's the plan for the next year.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll end the show with one more song. Do you want to tell us a bit about this one?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to share. Just in light of, I feel, what your station is about. This is a song called Wildflowers, and it was a song that I wrote for a really beautiful group of different women in my life, including my own mother and some really beautiful best friends of mine, who unfortunately in their life have had to suffer from abuse from male partners. And I know that I feel almost every female has some kind of connection to a story like that. And so I think the beautiful thing that's been happening in the world is we're starting to share our stories, and that really inspired me. So I wrote the song Wildflowers for that purpose.
You're a silent forest, you're a wild flower, you've been moving backwards into the wildfire, but you're a sharpened arrow, spearing hearts, stone cold, and you're a red-winged blackbird, perched up on the darkest of wars. He never gave you time or the space to soar, but you're a sharpened arrow that tried to spear a heart stone cold, and you're a red-winged blackbird perched up on the window. Child dying, and your heart is coming alive.
Find me anywhere online. I've got a new 6-song EP that just came out, so you can find me on Spotify, iTunes. I have a website, Daughter of the Moon Music. There's also a book out there called Daughter of the Moon, so if you can't find me, just attach music to the end and you'll find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Natalie.
Up next is a little clip from our first interview with this feminist bookstore back right before or right as they were opening their doors. Today on the show, we're joined by Stéphane Camille. So starting in August 2015, a collective of 5 individuals wished to launch a feminist bookstore in Montreal. While similar projects exist in many other major activist cities such as New York, Portland, and Paris, there's currently no such bookstore in Quebec.
Located in the Centre Sud district, the bookstore Legalien aims to promote feminist thought and literature by offering a diverse collection of both new and secondhand books, from feminist essays and nonfiction to a wide variety of literary works, children's books, comic books, zines, art books, and magazines. Legalien's founding members wanted to create a dynamic meeting place where workshops, reading evenings, and conferences could be held.
Accessibility was a main priority for its founders, and it exists as a nonprofit, multi-stakeholders cooperative. It aims to bring together not only its team of booksellers, but also a community of users that will have the opportunity to be involved in the project and its decision-making. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So to start off, can you tell us a bit more about the thought process behind the organization? So what prompted your collective to create a feminist library?
Je peux y aller. Okay. Oui, en fait, c'est une idée. On est un collectif de personnes qui... On se connaissait pas avant, en fait. Donc, on se connaissait de loin, si on veut. Puis c'est un projet qu'on avait tous et toutes séparément, en fait. Puis finalement, il y a une de nos collègues qui est Marie-Ève, qui est libraire, qui est déjà libraire, elle, dans une autre librairie, qui a lancé l'appel sur Facebook. Elle a fait un groupe « Créons une librairie féministe à Montréal ». Puis on est entrés en contact comme ça, finalement. Puis on a fini par former un collectif rapidement qui travaille activement sur le projet. Mais à la base, je pense qu'on a tous des motivations différentes, mais similaires en même temps. En fait, c'est le fait justement de voir que ça existe dans d'autres villes, puis que de constater qu'à Montréal, il y a pas de librairie, non seulement il n'y a pas de librairie féministe, mais on voulait aussi faire un lieu, créer un lieu, en fait, où les féministes anglophones, francophones peuvent se rencontrer, où les différents féminismes peuvent se rencontrer aussi, où les personnes qui ont un intérêt pour les questions féministes, mais qui ne sont pas nécessairement des activistes féministes, peuvent aussi peuvent aussi réseauter, se rencontrer, rencontrer des personnes qui, en fait, développer leur connaissance de la pensée féministe. Donc, créer un lieu d'échange autant que rendre disponibles des livres qui sont finalement pas disponibles, qui sont souvent pas disponibles, difficilement disponibles, ou qui sont pas disponibles tous ensemble, si on veut. Donc, il y a des livres qui sont qui ont un caractère féministe, mais ils sont éparpillés dans plein de librairies, dans plein de lieux. Donc, de les rassembler ensemble, ça permet de les penser comme une... j'allais dire une œuvre féministe. C'est pas une œuvre, mais comme une... En fait, de faire sens ensemble, si on veut.
We did a little inventory of the feminist bookstores, because for the history, the little history, there were some that existed in Montreal in the 70s. And one survived until 2002. It was called L'Androgyne. It was, I think, on the plateau, and then it moved in the village, and it closed in 2002. And so we were wondering, before we got into this project more seriously, like, what happened? Why did they close? How can we, you know, make things differently to make sure that we survive as a bookstore? And what we figured is that there is, we believe, there is a new wave of interest for feminist issues and literature as well. So we believe that it's a good time now to, you know, have this space exist, and many people are either, like, going further and further into their feminist, you know, values, reflections. And also there is a need for a community space to exist. There are many that exist, but, like, to create one more wouldn't be too much. And as well, there is a wave of independent bookstores coming back. Like, there was many of them closed down during the 90s and then early 2000 with the you know, big surfaces, the big bookstores, and then Amazon and the, you know, e-books and all of this. And there was a big, you know, move towards that side of the, like, pendulum. And then there's this comeback. But independent bookstores are reopening in a different way. Like, they're not only a place where you go and you exchange money for an object, in this case a book, but rather, like, a space where people can, you know, find a community, can, like, have a coffee and just, like, look at, browse into books and ask questions and interact with a bookseller, which is different from an algorithm when you just, like, browse online on Amazon and just trying to sell you more books. Like, you can just go deeper into, like, what's the book you're going to read, or what book should you discover, and that the algorithm wouldn't show you if you weren't, like, interacting with a person and talking about, like, some things that sometimes, like, you know, you want to read something, but it's not clear exactly, like, you don't know what. And that's what a physical space with human beings can bring. Like, you can kind of try to go into this, like, very subtle sensibility that you have and find it into a book that you wouldn't find online otherwise, and, like, you can discover something. And sometimes books can even, like, change your life, so you don't know what can happen if you go there.
Yeah, totally. I think some of, like, the best books I've read have been ones that have been, like, suggested by, like, people who are really familiar with the collection. I think we got a little bit ahead of ourselves, but L'Égalien, what is the story behind that name?
Eh bien, en fait, c'est un roman, L'Égalien. Donc, c'est un roman de science-fiction qui a été écrit en 1976 par Lucky Bertianic. Donc, c'est considéré comme, par plusieurs critiques, comme le premier livre féministe québécois. Donc, l'histoire du roman, en gros, c'est un extraterrestre, une créature extraterrestre qui s'appelle L'Égalien, qui arrive sur Terre, puis qui connaît pas le monde patriarcal dans lequel on vit, donc un monde qui est divisé de manière binaire, homme et femme. Donc, puis elle découvre la créature découvre de l'extérieur le monde tel qu'il fonctionne, donc qui jette un regard qui est souvent humoristique aussi sur ce monde-là et tout. Donc, c'est un roman, on appelle ça roman, mais c'est style essai, fragment, donc c'est un truc de 700 pages. C'est un roman qui est très intéressant, mais qui est peu connu, en fait, qui a été très connu lors de la parution à une certaine époque. Il y a eu un engouement, puis aujourd'hui, c'est pas nécessairement une œuvre qui est enseignée comme une œuvre féministe phare au Québec. Donc, c'est de choisir le nom, c'est parce qu'on avait un intérêt en fait pour ce roman-là. C'est un livre qui est important dans la pensée féministe au Québec, puis c'est une façon de le revaloriser aussi, en fait, juste ce qu'on fait aujourd'hui. Donc on nous demande pourquoi le nom, puis on en parle. Donc c'est une façon pour nous de faire mémoire aussi, de s'inscrire dans une filiation féministe, puis de faire redécouvrir des œuvres importantes, cette œuvre importante-là, hein, qui a été méconnue finalement. Ouais.
So we wanted to pay tribute to that book and all the ideas that it carries. And we knew that, like, Le Guélien, it's not the easiest name. People have a hard time pronouncing it, but we decided to choose it anyway. And the book, like, it reflects also the book, because it's not an easy book to read. It's like a thick brick, and it's very complex and dense, but still worth reading. And it's like a major work of literature. And I think it reflects a little bit the idea of the bookstore. Like, it's not an easy project. It's not like the, you know, starting a bookstore, opening a bookstore in 2016 and a feminist bookstore. Like, not the, you know, like, if you go see bankers and not like, oh, yeah, we're going to give you money. And, like, that's the... So, but there is still a lot of value, we think, in creating that space. And so the name of a book that is, like, dense and difficult to read, but also, like, very profound and carries a lot of meaning, kind of reflects like this process, I think. Mm-hmm. And as well, it's a very interesting because in the book, Luki Bertianik, the author, she reflects a lot on language, and it was written in French, but it was translated as a master's project at Concordia. And interestingly, it was the first, it was in the 70s, like late 70s, early 80s, and it was the first collective master's thesis that was made. Like, they pushed at the French literature, no, translation, like, department program to be allowed to make like a collective thesis, and it was accepted, which was very like groundbreaking at the time. I don't think you can do this anymore. It was like this one special project, and they translated Le Guélien, and it's a very difficult book to translate because a lot of the book is a reflection on language and how language shapes the world that we live in, and how our language specifically, like, she identifies how it reflects the patriarchal culture that we live in, and we don't even realize as we use words. So like Le Guélien, this extraterrestrial, she comes and she kind of like identifies how these little uses of language end up shaping our perception of the world and hence the world that we live in. And so she's very much like playing with language and seeing how we can transform it, which seems maybe like not super groundbreaking right now, but in the 70s was like language was more the use of language and the like grammatical rules, it was all more rigid. And also in French there's the féminin masculin, so there's a lot of like trying to reflect on why some words are feminine, other masculine. Like, you don't have that as much in English, but so it's very interesting. And also like the fact that she's reflecting on language and trying to transform it, I think is very interesting for a bookstore to have like as coming with its name, because words.
So the bookstore will be in the
Centre-Sud.
Why that area?
En fait, on a choisi le quartier pour plusieurs raisons, notamment à cause de la localisation géographique. C'est un quartier qui est assez central, donc on voulait être dans un quartier qui est pas trop loin de l'UQAM, de Concordia, du centre-ville. Donc c'est un quartier assez central puis assez facile d'accès aussi, parce que c'est un quartier où il y a pas de, en ce moment, il y a aucune librairie indépendante. Donc, il y a Zone Libre qui est dans le quartier latin, il y a une librairie dans la Flèche Rouge dans Hochelaga, mais dans le centre-sud, il y a pas de librairie indépendante pour l'instant. Puis c'est quand même, si on avait été sur le plateau, bien, il y a comme cinq librairies différentes. Puis c'est aussi pour, en fait, se donner un... En fait, rendre les livres accessibles dans un quartier où ils sont... C'est quand même un quartier central, mais c'est pas, il y a pas de librairie, en fait. C'est important pour nous de pas être en compétition non plus, de pas aller installer une librairie à côté d'une autre librairie. On veut être en solidarité aussi avec les autres, avec les autres librairies indépendantes, mais aussi parce que c'est, en fait, il y a la proximité du village aussi, donc dans l'idée, dans l'optique de rejoindre une communauté, donc oui, c'est une communauté LGBTQ, il y a plus, mais donc nous, on est une librairie féministe, mais on veut aussi, on essaie d'avoir une perspective quand même intersectionnelle, si on veut, donc on veut aussi vendre des ouvrages qui sont qui traitent des enjeux LGBTQ et aussi c'est ça en fait je peux essayer.
Well, as well, it's going to be a specialized bookstore, so you will be able to find books that you wouldn't be able to find in like regular bookstore, like in the like big grande surface. So the idea is that we wanted it to be at a place that is like kind of central or accessible for people who come from like from other cities, from the South Shore, from the North Shore, to kind of a, you know, be able, or even like tourists who come to, like if I go to another city and I know there's a feminist bookstore, I will probably go visit it. So we wanted to have a place that is like kind of central and accessible. So that's why we chose Centre Sud.
So you kind of touched on what kind of books will be, or topics, I guess, will be included. Can you talk a bit more about what people could expect in terms of the collection? So you mentioned it'll have an intersectional focus.
Yes, well, a question we get a lot is, oh, so feminist bookstore, you're only going to have book by women. Not at all. That's not the idea. We interpret like feminist bookstore very broadly, so we want to have yes, like put forward book written by women, because they're not put forward in the book industry, so that's one thing that is important, but also racialized authors, LGBTQ plus authors, and we want to have a lot of essays also on decolonization, on racism, on a lot of topics that are all intertwined, interrelated with having a feminist perspective. Sometimes also what we see when like this focus exists in a bookstore is that it's mostly essays. We want to also have a lot of fiction and literature, so that it's not only voices racialized women talking about being a racialized woman, but also like a form of expression that can go beyond like being reduced to your identity. So to have a lot of place for fiction, imagination, expression, and as well a lot of zines, of course. Mm-hmm. And there's an awesome zine community in Montreal, so we're going to work hard to try to have like as much as possible and available in the bookstore, because sometimes it's just hard to find them and to access them. So that's one thing. And as well,
la littérature pour enfants aussi. Yeah. Donc c'est un truc qu'on se fait demander souvent, puis qui est pas disponible, qui est difficilement disponible. Donc d'avoir une collection de livres pour enfants non genrés ou non stéréotypés, donc qui sont pas nécessairement. Il y a des livres qui sont spécialement féministes pour enfants, mais nous ce serait plus largement de créer une collection de trouver les livres qui reconduisent pas des stéréotypes de genre ou qui déconstruisent les stéréotypes de genre. Donc pour permettre aux personnes qui veulent offrir des livres, offrir un différent regard, un imaginaire différent, plus égalitaire, plus progressiste à leurs enfants. Donc, c'est ça.
And we're going to have new books, but also used books. We already receive a bunch of donations, yeah. So we already started the collection.
So we're going to take a short break here just to throw to a song. So this song is by Coco Rosie.
Thank you. desert child, and mountains make me nauseous. I like to look up wild at an infinite sky, a twinkling with diamonds. It's true, I get depressed in fancy hotel rooms. I'm dressed with nothing to flaunt but my loneliness, thinking of the night. Interrupted by the sirens in the street.
Smoky Taboo, and we're back joined by Steph and Camille from the new feminist bookstore that will be opening in the fall.
So Legalian identifies as a non-profit co-op. So why was this the chosen business model?
Pour plusieurs raisons, notamment la partie co-op, parce que on a choisi de faire une coopérative parce que pour nous, c'était important que le projet rassemble une communauté de gens. Donc, on est cinq, six personnes qui s'impliquent activement depuis le début du projet. Mais même, déjà, il y a plusieurs personnes qui s'impliquent autour du projet. Donc, des amis qui nous aident, qui s'impliquent activement, qui font pas juste nous donner des lifts ou des trucs comme ça, là, qui vraiment prennent des décisions, nous aident à organiser les événements. Donc, l'esprit de communauté, c'est une chose qui était importante. C'est important pour nous que cet esprit de communauté-là demeure. Donc, on ne crée pas vraiment notre entreprise pour nous. Donc, on le fait, oui, parce que ça nous intéresse, mais pour rassembler une communauté de féministes à Montréal, puis pour que ce projet-là appartienne à une communauté de féministes. Donc, c'est beaucoup plus le projet, en fait, d'une collectivité que notre projet à nous, à notre sens. Puis, donc, la forme de coop, de solidarité permet de rassembler plusieurs personnes dans les processus décisionnels, donc d'avoir des membres externes, des membres de soutien qui sont des personnes qui œuvrent déjà dans les milieux littéraires et féministes à Montréal, donc de créer des solidarités, de créer justement un lieu d'échange aussi, donc ne serait-ce que en fait d'impliquer plusieurs personnes dans l'orientation de la librairie, dans le devenir, la transformation de la librairie. Puis on espère que c'est un projet aussi qui va nous survivre, dans le sens que pour l'instant c'est nous qui, pour les prochaines années, probablement qu'on risque d'être une petite équipe de libraires qui s'occupe de la librairie, mais on espère que ce lieu-là va rester à long terme, donc va pouvoir être facilement repris par une autre communauté féministe, par d'autres groupes de féministes qui vont lui donner d'autres vies, mais en fait lui permettre de vivre longtemps. Donc la forme de coop de solidarité permet facilement en fait cette pérennité-là, parce que on n'a pas besoin de la vendre quand si jamais nous, on veut plus travailler dans la librairie, on veut faire autre chose, on n'a pas besoin de la vendre. Donc, c'est simplement des nouveaux membres, travailleurs, qui sont réélus. Donc, puis la partie, le côté sans but lucratif, ben, c'est une question de valeur. Je pense que pour nous, faire du profit, c'est... En fait, si on avait voulu faire du profit, on n'aurait décidément pas décidé d'ouvrir une librairie. C'est pas les commerces. C'est vraiment pas les types de commerces les plus lucratifs. Mais pour nous, de pouvoir redistribuer cet argent-là autrement, donc... C'était absurde pour nous que ça aille dans nos poches, l'argent, finalement, pour ce qu'on va en faire. On préférait que l'argent soit réinvesti dans la librairie, pour agrandir, pour développer des nouveaux projets, pour offrir des meilleures conditions de travail à plus d'employés. Donc, c'était un truc qui était important pour nous.
And as well in Centre Sud, there's already a very vibrant community fabric. So we thought that the co-op model was a good way to kind of integrate that fabric. And like there's a women's center, a community center for immigrant families. There's Stella is nearby also. Stella is by and for sex workers. So it was a way to like make sure that we're not just, you know, arriving like from outside in a neighborhood that is already like vibrant and already organized, but to kind of like find ways to connect and to integrate and to create relationships and lasting relationships with those organizations and people in the neighborhood.
So throughout this interview, we've kind of been flowing seamlessly in and out in French and English. Is this something you want to integrate in the activities that you'll be holding at the bookstore?
Oh yeah, for sure. That would be great. I think it's great that we can do this interview in both languages. I don't know, from my personal experience, like I navigate between Francophone, like feminist communities and Anglophone ones. And sometimes they meet, but more often than not, they don't meet that much or like interact. So one of the ideas with the bookstore was to have, like most of us are from a Francophone community, so we're definitely going to have a lot of book in French, that's for sure. And Francophone authors from Quebec a lot, but we also want to have like a very interesting and complete collection in English, and maybe hopefully create a space where Francophones, Anglophones can feel comfortable and interact and like feel that they belong as well. I think there's like so many ideas and like awesome people that would just like benefit from meeting and interacting and, you know, sharing their ideas, their values, their thinking. And it's French, English, but also other languages. And especially since we're going to have used books, we want to be able to have collections in other languages if that's possible. Because, I mean, feminist ideas, they don't like belong to a language. So why not like have them meet in the same space?
So to wrap up our show, I guess, what are your long-term hopes for this project, for the library?
On a beaucoup de grands rêves avec la librairie, je pense. Mais à long terme, on aimerait probablement... En fait, le local dans lequel on va emménager risque de pas être un si grand local non plus. Ça va être un beau local, mais on aimerait peut-être éventuellement que la librairie puisse être aussi... On voudrait avoir une petite section café dans la librairie, donc juste servir des cafés pour que les gens puissent s'installer et lire. C'est un truc qui va être tout petit la première année. Peut-être que si on pouvait avoir un espace plus grand, à long terme, on aimerait ça, en fait, avoir un plus grand local, puis que ce soit pas simplement un bookstore, mais aussi un endroit où on peut organiser des événements. Donc, ça va être possible de le faire dans la librairie, mais c'est certain qu'on peut pas organiser des grandes conférences, des spectacles avec beaucoup de personnes. Ça reste un lieu assez restreint. Donc, si ça pouvait être possible, on serait contents. En fait, on va essayer de mettre les moyens, de trouver les moyens, en fait, pour pouvoir développer cet aspect-là. Puis sinon, on aimerait avoir une équipe de travail stable aussi. Donc, c'était un truc qui est très important pour nous. Donc, on parle beaucoup des livres qu'on va vendre, des événements qu'on va organiser, mais c'est important pour nous aussi de créer des métiers stables dans le milieu de la librairie. Donc, c'est un milieu qui est assez précaire, en fait. Les emplois peu rémunérés, avec peu de stabilité. Pour nous, c'est important de pouvoir créer une équipe qui reste à long terme, de pouvoir offrir des emplois stables, en fait, que ce soit pas juste des emplois étudiants qu'on garde pendant à temps partiel, pendant 3 ans, puis après ça, on trouve autre chose à temps plein. Donc, on veut que ce soit un truc dans lequel les gens peuvent s'investir, puis c'est dans le but de nous aussi, créer pour nous, puis pour les travailleurs qui vont venir dans la librairie, des conditions de travail acceptables. C'était, en fait... C'est un truc qui correspond à nos valeurs. C'est important pour nous, mais aussi pour dans la perspective de développer une expertise dans les livres féministes. Donc, c'est important que les gens puissent rester longtemps. Donc, le métier de libraire, c'est un truc qui s'apprend avec les années aussi, la connaissance des livres, des collections. Donc, on veut que ce soit un savoir qui se crée, en fait, puis qui se transmette. Donc, je pense que c'est une dimension qui est assez importante aussi pour nous. Je sais pas si...
That was very complete, maybe, like, on the long term... I think it would be great to see like communities and diverse ones like forming and being sustained or like self-sustaining around the bookstore. We're not sure exactly how it's gonna work yet, but the idea is to have ways like with, I don't know, like book clubs or like programs or maybe like some form of funding to create those like communities and create spaces where people can meet, interact around books, around the bookstore. So if this could happen and then keep going in the long run, that would be just a great success. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you both for coming on the show today. We're super excited about this bookstore. So just real quick, when will it open?
Fall. Okay. I was going to say end of summer, yeah. But fall.
All right.
2016, so very soon.
Excellent. Yeah. So keep an eye out for that. We've come to the end of today's edition of Dragon Root Radio. We were joined by Steph and Camille from Lugarion Bookstore that will be opening in the fall. So be sure to tune in next week for more reports on gender-based issues with Dragon Root Radio.
Talking about it for over a year, and you probably already know anyway, we've decided not to say it this time. So we're not going to tell you again that to protect yourself from COVID-19, you should wash your... And we certainly won't repeat once more that you should wear a... Or most importantly, that we must keep our... From others. Because you already know this is the best way to fight the virus. Even when you're vaccinated, let's continue to protect ourselves. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. This is If You've Got Ears. If You've Got Ears is CKUT's experimental, forward-thinking, avant-garde, and most importantly, creative music radio program every Wednesday at noon. The show has been on the air since 2003, presenting you with sounds that you will not hear anywhere else. And so we're asking listeners, of course, if you want to continue to hear this kind of music on the airwaves, to please donate. CQT's funding drive is currently underway. You can, of course,